Greetings, people of Earth. I have taken this time out of your busy schedules to inform you that the recent disappearances of Earth's top mathematicians is not a coincidence. I am responsible, and there is nothing any of you can do about it. If I even notice any military force approaching me, I will turn them all into cigarette lighters. You have 48 hours to comply with my demands or face global disaster.
I'd like to get right to the point of why I asked you here. You, like millions of citizens across the world, have just witnessed the broadcast message from Dr. Literati Pendatica, stating his intentions of carrying through with what just might be the worst threat this nation of ours has faced. What I want from you is to face this madman and try to bring him to reason. Our top scientists have been working round the clock and have recently discovered a revolutionary new process by which human beings can be digitally reduced into cartoon-like beings. This new form should be completely immune to the effects of the good doctor's objectifying ray gun.
You said should be immune. Is there a problem with this process?
To be perfectly frank, Scott, it was never tested on a human being, but the theory is solid.
Okay, I'm here. I still don't understand this digitized reduction. Is it gonna hurt?
We can assure you, Mr. Flansburgh, all you will feel is a momentary discomfort as the laser scanner charts and disassembles you into your component atoms. After a minimal calculation, the computer will reconstruct you in your digitized form.
Well, I guess you only live once. Ready when you are, Doctor.
The laser has reached optimum energy levels. Begin morph process now. Mr. Flansburgh, your ship is ready to launch on pad number 3.
This is a mission control to Cal. Cal, do you read?
Loud and clear, Mission Control.
Our deep space probes indicate that you have reached the dimensional rift. Do your sensors indicate a stable passageway?
All readings are stable, Mission Control. I'm going in.
Good luck, Cal. The fate of the world and math as we know it rests on your shoulders.
Prepare to be blasted into space dust, you insignificant worm!
Wait!
Give me one reason I shouldn't reduce you to your component atoms with my space cannons!
I'm Scott Flansburgh, and I've come to talk.
That's funny! You look more like a human-sized calculator to me!
Well, I had to undergo a digital reduction process to prevent you from objectifying me before I had a chance to talk to you about your problems with math.
What makes you think you can succeed where all the others have failed? Why bother anyway? It's so much easier just to reduce the Earth's competency level in math by kidnapping those gifted students and their teachers. After I have them, I objectify them, turning them into small household items, such as flashlights. But the best part is, the only way they can be released is by someone answering a difficult math problem. And with me having captured all of those on Earth gifted in math, who could possibly free them?
If you will just give me a chance, I can show you just how easy math can be.
Many have tried, but none have succeeded. I will give you your chance, but first, you must prove yourself worthy and do battle with my 4 champions.
And just who are these champions?
The Dragon of Addition. The Abominable Snowman of Subtraction. The Ruthless Robot of Multiplication. And the Tyrannosaurus Rex of Division. So, are you still feeling up to the challenge?
Like I said before, Doctor, math is easy. And with my techniques, I'll show you just how fun it can be.
Math fun? Ridiculous. I await you on my planet, Calculator Man.
Most people were taught to approach an addition problem by starting with the first column on the right, the units column. In this case, you would add 2, 1, and 6 to get 9, the units part of the answer. You would work with the tens digits and add 6, 3, and 2 for a sum of 11. You would put the right-hand 1 in 11 as the tens digit of your answer and carry the left-hand 1 in 11 to the hundreds column of the problem. Then you would add the carried 1 to the 4, 2, and 3 to get the first part of the answer, 10. That's one way to do addition. Some people feel it makes more sense to add in the same direction we read, from left to right. In fact, this is so easy, you can add long columns of numbers in your head. Let's try it out on a simple problem. Start at the top left and keep a running total in your head. Add 20, 10, and 30 to get 60. 60 is your base number. It will change as you move through the problem. When you get to the end, the base number will be the answer. Next, we add the numbers on the right to the base number. 60 plus 5 equals 65. Plus 2 equals 67. Plus 1 equals 68. 68 is the new base number, and since we've run out of numbers to add, it is also the answer to the problem. What if we have to carry a number, as we did in our first example of right-to-left addition? Start on the left. 40 plus 20 equals 60. 60 plus 10 equals 70. 70 is the base number. Go to the next column. Add these numbers to the base number, and you have the answer to the problem. Did you notice the carry? With left-to-right addition, you can add numbers of any size in your head. Let's try adding some three-digit numbers together. It's easier than you might think. Start on the left. 300 plus 100 equals 400. 400 plus 400 equals 800. Now, let's go to the next column. 800 plus 50 equals 850. 850 plus 20 equals 870. 870 plus 10 equals 880. Now move to the last column. 880 plus 2 equals 882. 882 plus 1 equals 883. 883 plus 5 equals 888. You just added three three-digit numbers in your head. But what happens if you have to carry? Let's see how it works if you just start adding from the left. Starting on the left, add 400 plus 100 plus 300 equals 800. Go to the next column. 800 plus 60 equals 860. 860 plus 30 equals 890. 890 plus 20 equals 910. Did you notice the carry? Finally, 910 plus 2 equals 912. 912 plus 5 equals 917. 917 plus 6 equals 923. Pretty easy, huh? Subtraction is really reverse addition. When someone asks you, what is 14 minus 8? Don't think 14 take away 8 is what? Instead, ask yourself, what added to 8 equals 14? The answer is 6. Visualize it like this. Think 6 plus 8 equals 14. This method works on bigger numbers too. Try it on 299 minus 151. Work from left to right. Think 100 plus what equals 200? The answer is 100. It becomes the base number. Go to the next column. 50 plus what equals 90? The answer is 40. Add this to your base number. 100 plus 40 equals 140. Go to the next column. 1 plus what equals 9? The answer is 8. So add 8 to 140 and you have the answer. 299 minus 151 equals 148. Let's try another problem. First, notice that the 8 in the units column is larger than the 1 above it. Will we have to borrow? Let's try doing it left to right and see. Begin at the left. Subtract 70 minus 30 equals 40. 40 is the base number. Go to the next column. First, add the 1 to your base number. Then, subtract 8 from that number. 71 minus 38 equals 33. Let's try a three-digit subtraction problem. Start from the left. 600 minus 200 equals 400. 400 is the base number. Now, move to the right. Add the 30 to the base number then subtract 50 from that total. Now the base number is 380. Move to the right, add the 7 to the base number. The new base number is 387. Subtract the 5. 387 minus 5 equals 382. So 637 minus 255 equals 382. Cross multiplication allows you to solve amazingly large multiplication problems in your head. Both methods, right to left and left to right, work just as well. So let's try them to see which one you like better. Let's try 36 times 24. Since this is left to right cross multiplication, we start from the left. 30 times 20 equals 600. 600 is our base number. Now, cross multiply in two steps. First, 30 times 4 equals 120. Add this to the base number, now it's 720. Then, 6 times 20 equals 120. Add this to the base number, now it's 840. Finally, multiply the last column. 6 times 4 equals 24. Add this to the base number to get the answer. 36 times 24 equals 864. Here's something that helps with larger numbers. If you multiply numbers that end in zeros, you can just multiply the non-zero numbers and tack on the zeros at the end, like this. Advanced human calculators might want to try some three-digit numbers now. If it seems to be getting complicated, you can skip this part. Let's try 621 times 584. Start on the left. 600 times 500 equals 300,000. This is the base number. Cross multiply 600 times 80 equals 48,000. Add this to the base number. 300,000 plus 48,000 equals 348,000. Cross multiply again. 500 times 20 equals 10,000. Add this to the 348,000 to get the new base number, 358,000. The next cross multiplication, 600 times 4 equals 2,400. Add this to the base number, 358,000, to get the new base number, 360,400. Multiply 500 times 1 equals 500. 360,400 plus 500 equals 360,900. The new base number is 360,900. Next, multiply the center digits, 2 and 8. These are tens digits, so multiply 20 times 80 to get 1,600. Add 1,600 to the base number of 360,900 to get the new base number, 362,500. Continuing right, multiply 20 times 4 equals 80. Add 80 to the base number. It becomes 362,580. Then multiply 1 times 80 equals 80. Add this to the base number to get the new one, 362,660. Finally, multiply the last digits, 1 times 4 equals 4. Add this and you have the answer. 621 times 584 equals 362,664. Cross multiplication allows you to solve amazingly large multiplication problems in your head. Both methods, right to left and left to right, work just as well. So let's try them to see which one you like better. Let's multiply 14 by 12 using right to left cross multiplication. To find the last digit in the answer, multiply the two numbers on the right. 2 times 4 equals 8. To find the middle digit, we cross multiply two sets of numbers and add the results. 2 times 1 equals 2. 4 times 1 equals 4. Add the 2 and 4. 2 plus 4 equals 6. To find the left part of the answer, just multiply the leftmost digits. Since 1 times 1 equals 1, the answer is 168. This strategy gets even easier with practice. Let's look at a problem with larger numbers and see what happens. We'll try 62 times 12 using right to left cross multiplication. Start on the right. 2 times 2 equals 4. The last digit in the answer is 4. Now, cross multiply and add the results. 2 times 1 equals 2, and 2 times 6 equals 12. 12 plus 2 equals 14. The 4 is the middle digit. Carry the 1. The last step is to multiply the numbers on the left. 6 times 1 equals 6. Add to this the 1 we carried. The left part of the answer is 7. The answer is 62 times 12 equals 744. If you like, you can skip the next part, but if you want to see how the human calculator does three-digit problems with right-to-left cross-multiplication, let's try 621 times 584. Okay, let's go. Start on the right. 1 times 4 equals 4. 4 is the last digit in the answer. Now, cross-multiply. 4 times 2 equals 8, and 1 times 8 equals 8. Add the results. 8 plus 8 equals 16. Put down the 6 and carry the 1. Cross multiply. 4 times 6 equals 24. 1 times 5 equals 5. And 2 times 8 equals 16. Add all the results together. Add the 1 we carried. We get 46. Next, 8 times 6 equals 48. And 2 times 5 equals 10. Add 48 plus 10 equals 58. Add the 4 we carried from the previous step. 58 plus 4 equals 62. Last, multiply the leftmost digits. 6 times 5 equals 30. Add the carried 6 from the previous step. 30 plus 6 equals 36. Done. 621 times 584 equals 362,664. Times you can take a shortcut. Let's look at a few examples of one such shortcut, complementary multiplication. Let's try 96 times 94. Both these numbers are close to 100, so here's how we do it. How far is 96 from 100? Put that number next to 96. How far is 94 from 100? Put that number to the right of 94. The next step is to subtract diagonally. Subtract 4 from 94 or 6 from 96. In either case, you'll get 90. 90 is your base number. Now, multiply the two numbers you put on the right. 6 times 4 equals 24. Put this number to the right of the 90 and you have the answer. 96 times 94 equals 9024. This method also works well for numbers close to 50, though there is an extra step. After either adding or subtracting diagonally, divide the result by 2. Then do as before. The problem is 48 times 44. How far is 48 from 50? 50 minus 48 equals 2. How far is 44 from 50? 50 minus 44 equals 6. Put these numbers to the right of the problem. Now, subtract diagonally in either direction. 48 minus 6 or 44 minus 2. Either way, you'll get 42. Since you are multiplying numbers near 50, which is half of 100, divide 42 by 2, giving 21. Put this under the problem as the first part of the answer. Then, multiply the two numbers you put on the right and put them down as the second part of the answer. Simple. 48 times 44 equals 2112. For numbers near multiples of 100, after adding or subtracting diagonally, multiply that result by the appropriate multiple. Let's try 203 times 206. Find how far each number is from 200 and put that number to the right. Since these numbers are greater than 200, we'll cross add. 203 plus 6 or 206 plus 3. Either way, we get 209. Multiply 209 by 2. 200 is 2 times 100. And put it down as the first part of the answer. Finally, multiply the two numbers you put on the right. 6 times 3 equals 18. Put that result down as the second part of your answer, and you're done. 203 times 206 equals 41,818. Here's a way to simplify and organize any multiplication problem. With box multiplication, you can solve problems of any size and have fun at the same time. Let's try 64 times 12. First, draw a box and divide it into four squares, one for each digit, like this. Put the first number on top. Put the second number on the right. divide each square diagonally. We'll start at the top right box. Multiply 4 times 1 and put the answer, 4, in the box. Put the 4 in the lower half, where the units go. There aren't any 10s, so leave the top half of the box empty. Next, we'll do the bottom right box. This time, multiply 4 times 2 equals 8. Put the 8 in the lower half of the box. Again, there's no tens digit, so we leave the top half empty. Now, the lower left box. Multiply 6 times 2 equals 12. Put the 2 units in the lower half and the 1 tens in the upper half of the box. And now, the last box. 6 times 1 equals 6. There isn't a tens digit, so put the 6 in the lower half of the box. The last step is to add the numbers in each diagonal row, starting with the 8 at the lower right. There isn't anything to add to the 8, so just put the 8 down below its box. Now, add the next diagonal row. 4 plus 2 equals 6. Put the 6 at the left end of the diagonal row. Add the next row diagonally. 6 plus 1 equals 7. Put the 7 at the left end of the diagonal row. Read the answer from around the outside of the box, from left to right. 64 times 12 equals 768. Box multiplication works on numbers of any size. Let's try it with a bigger example. Let's do 345 times 27. A three-digit number is multiplied by a two-digit number, so we'll need a box with six squares, like this. We'll start at the top right. 5 times 2 equals 10. Put the 0 in the bottom half of the box and the 1 in the top half. We'll do the bottom row all at once. 5 times 7 equals 35 in the lower right box. 4 times 7 equals 28 in the lower middle box. 3 times 7 equals 21 in the lower left box. In the upper left box, 3 times 2 equals 6. The 6 goes in the lower half. In the upper middle box, 4 times 2 equals 8. The 8 goes in the lower half. Now, just add up the diagonal rows and we'll know the answer. Start at the bottom right. There's nothing to add to the 5, so just move it down. Now, the next row up, 0 plus 3 plus 8 equals 11. 11 is a two-digit number, so put the ones digit at the end of the row. Put the other one in the next diagonal row. Adding the next row, we get 1 plus 8 plus 2 plus 1 plus 1 equals 13. Put the 3 at the left end of the diagonal row and put the 1 up in the next diagonal row. Finally, the last column. 6 plus 2 plus 1 equals 9. Put the 9 down at the end of the row. Read the answer from the digits around the outside of the box from left to right. 345 times 27 equals 9,315. Once you have memorized this strategy, you'll amaze people by telling them the exact day of the week it was on the date they were born or any date in modern history. It's easy to simplify some problems based on the fact that dividing a number by the parts of a divisor, called factors, gives the same answer as dividing it by the whole divisor. Since 18 is the same as 6 times 3, we can use these factors to our advantage. It's easier to divide 486 by 6 and then divide the result by 3 than it is to divide 486 by 18. 486 divided by 6 equals 81. Now, divide the result by 3. 81 divided by 3 equals 27. 486 divided by 18 equals 27. When your divisor ends with one or more zeros, it's easy to simplify the problem. Canceling zeros is the same as dividing both the divisor and the dividend by tens. Drop the zero or zeros from the end of the divisor and move the decimal point in the dividend one place to the left for each zero you dropped. Since there was no decimal point in the dividend, we pretended it was at the very end of the number. Now you can divide 24.6 by 2. The answer is 12.3. or 12 and 3 tenths. Canceling zeros works because multiplying or dividing both terms by the same number doesn't change the answer to the division problem. We can do this trick using other numbers besides 10. Given the problem 242 divided by 5 equals, we can multiply both terms by 2 so that the problem becomes 484 divided by 10. Now cancel the 0 to complete the problem. Move the decimal point at the end of 484 one place to the left. 484 divided by 10 equals 48.4. 242 divided by 5 equals 48.4. One of the big headaches in division is figuring out whether one number can be divided by another without having a remainder in the quotient. Here are some tricks for the trickier numbers. Add up a number's digits. If the sum has more than one digit, you can keep adding the digits until you have only one. If that digit is a 3, then the original number can be evenly divided by 3. To check a large number for divisibility by 4, just look at the last two digits. If they're both zeros, or if they form a number that's divisible by 4, the whole number is evenly divisible by 4. Add up the digits the same way you did to see if your number was divisible by 3. If the digits add up to 9, your number is evenly divisible by 9. Once you have memorized this strategy, you'll amaze people by telling them the exact day of the week it was on the date they were born, or any date in modern history. Let's see how it works for December 28th, 1963, which just happens to be my birthday. Start with the last two digits of the year, in this case, 63. We'll move the 63 to the first part of the equation. Next, we need the number of leap year days to allow for, so we divide the first number by 4 and just drop any remainder or fraction. 63 divided by 4 is 15 with a remainder of 3. We don't use the remainder, so we'll put the 15 into the equation like this. The next step is easy. The day of the month is the 28th. We'll put the 28 into the equation like this. The last variable in the equation is called the significant value of the month. You'll need to memorize these values. Look at the table to find the significant value for December. It's 5. The 5 goes into the equation here. Add all four numbers together. 63 plus 15 plus 28 plus 5 equals 111. Now, divide 111 by 7, the number of days in the week. The remainder, 6, is the important part. The remainder corresponds to a day of the week, as shown in the table below. So we see that December 28th, 1963 was a Saturday. That's how this strategy works for most dates in the 20th century. If the date is in January or February of the leap year, you have one more easy step. You need to account for the extra day in a leap year if the date you're working with is on or before February 29th. A leap year is any year that is evenly divisible by 4. Let's see how we would calculate the day of the week for February 2nd, 1984. Start with the last two digits in the year, 84. Divide that number by 4, giving 21, and put that number into the equation like this. The day of the month goes into the equation here. The chart says the significant value for February is 3, but we're going to subtract the 1 from that because 1984 is a leap year. Put a 2 into the equation here. Add 84 plus 21 plus 2 plus 2 equals 109, and divide that answer by 7. 109 divided by 7 equals 15, with a remainder of 4. The 4 corresponds to Thursday, so February 2nd, 1984 was a Thursday. When the date you're working with isn't in the 20th century, you'll need to make one more adjustment to the basic strategy. For dates in the 21st century, subtract 1 from the significant value. For dates in the 19th century, add 2. For the 18th century, add 3. Let's try a date from the 19th century. June 12, 1843. Start with the year. The 43 goes to the left. 43 divided by 4 is 10. With a remainder of 3. Put the 10 into the equation here and disregard the remainder. The day of the month is 12. It goes into the equation here. Usually, the significant value of June is 4, but since our date is in the 19th century, we'll add 2, making it 6. The 6 goes into the equation here. Now add the variables as before. 43 plus 10 plus 12 plus 6 equals 71. Divide 71 by 7. The remainder is 1. So we know that June 12, 1843 was a Monday. Now you're ready to try some dates on your own. If subtraction is reverse addition, then division is reverse multiplication. We want to find out how many times we have to multiply one number to get another number. Let's look at 486 divided by 18.